Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Again, we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Soviet cosmonaut German Titov, on tour of the United States, told reporters that in his exploration of outer space, he saw nothing which would cause him to believe in the existence of God. "Sometimes the people say the God is living there," said Titov, "but I haven't found anyone there." The Soviet cosmonaut also quoted from a Russian poet who wrote, "We have seen the heavens from the outside and from the inside, and we have not detected either angels or gods." Well, perhaps it would be well for us to point out in the words of Jesus that no man hath seen God at any time, for God is spirit. However, God has revealed himself, and any man can come to know God if he will but choose to do so. First of all, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." As a watch gives evidence of being made by a master craftsman, so the very heavens Titov has explored reveal the existence of a divine creator. For instance, it is well known that our earth rotates on its axis at around 1,000 miles an hour. Were our earth to suddenly slow up to 100 miles an hour, our days and nights would be 10 times as long as now, and we would either burn up or freeze to death. Take a look at the moon. Were the moon to come within 50,000 miles of our earth, the tides would become so enormous that twice a day all continents would be submerged, with even the mountains covered. Beloved, the only answer for this universe is God and his Son Jesus Christ. Secondly, your Bible is a revelation of God. It is indeed the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was Jeremiah who, led of the Spirit, wrote, "The stars are without number." Some 400 years later, the great Hipparchus, scientific brain of his day, declared, "There were exactly 1,026 stars in the entire universe." Later, around the time of Christ, the Roman scientist Ptolemy said Hipparchus was all wrong. There were 1,056 stars. And then in the year 1610, a fellow came along with a little glass and, looking through it into the heavens, exclaimed, "Hold everything. There are more stars than this." Our latest telescopes verify Jeremiah's assertion that the stars are without number. In just our own solar system is a galaxy of some 400 billion stars. Then thirdly, our Lord Jesus Christ is himself the revelation of God. Although Jesus said that no man had seen God at any time, he also declared that he had come to reveal him. Thus Jesus could say, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Actually, it was the Lord Jesus who spoke the word and the worlds came into being. In John 1 and verse 3 we read concerning our Lord, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And although each one of the Trinity had something to do with the creation, it was our Lord himself who spoke the word and this universe was formed. And he is the one who can speak peace to your troubled heart today, who can speak that word of comfort or release from oppression. Then there are many other indications that would reveal that there is a God. Dr. Arthur H. Compton, Nobel Prize winner, declared at the dawn of the atomic era, "Mankind's conquest of atomic energy has removed whatever barrier to belief in an immanent God may have existed." Similarly, Dr. Warren Weaver, chairman of the board of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, declared that the lowly electron is convincing proof of the existence of God. "No scientist has ever seen an electron," said Dr. Weaver. "Yet nothing is more real to a scientist than an electron." Dr. A. Cressy Morrison, in his book Man Does Not Stand Alone, gives at least 7 reasons why a scientist believes in God. Declares Dr. Morrison, "We are still in the dawn of the scientific age, and every increase of light reveals more brightly the handiwork of an intelligent Creator. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, we read, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All you need to do is to observe around you to know there is an all-wise providence. Take the young salmon, which spends years at sea, then comes back to his own river, travels up the very side of the river, into which flows the tributary, where he was born. If you were to transfer him to another tributary, he will know from some divinely infused instinct that he is off course, and he will fight his way back down to the main stream and then turn up against the current to finish his destiny accurately. Then there is the fact that man has more than animal instinct. He has a living soul with the power of reason, a creation of God. Where animals and birds make certain sounds and noises, by instinct, man can think and talk and reason. Thus it is that God says to man, "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And how unreasonable it is for man to turn down salvation when it is offered to him so freely through Jesus Christ. How unreasonable in the face of all kinds of evidence for man to deny God or to refuse to believe Him. Well, nearly a century ago, Moody and Sankey were in England preaching the gospel in a rented hall in East London. Atheism was quite prevalent, and clubs were even formed to promote it. One night, Moody announced that on a certain Monday, his message would be particularly addressed to atheists, to skeptics, and freethinkers of all kinds. Charles Bradlaugh, who was the champion of atheism, ordered all of his club members to go and take possession of the hall. 5,000 men marched in from all directions and occupied every seat. The platform was reserved for preachers and personal workers. Now, Mr. Moody asked the men to choose their favorite hymn, which brought many a laugh from the atheists, who have no song or hymn. Then Mr. Moody went on to relate touching incidents in his own life of the experiences of the death of Christians he knew, compared to the death of unbelievers and atheists. At the close of his sermon, Mr. Moody announced the singing of the hymn, "Only Trust Him." He told the ushers they were to open the doors so that anyone who wished to leave could do so. But surprisingly, no one left. Then Mr. Moody explained simply the way of salvation in four words: receive, believe, trust, and take Him. The men just grinned in ridicule. Then ask Mr. Moody, who will receive Christ? Just say, "I will." None of his immediate group responded. Moody then explained the word believe and made his second appeal. Who will say, "I will believe Him"? And at this, a leading club member shouted, "I won't." Mr. Moody, overcome with tenderness and compassion, burst into broken, tearful words, exclaiming, "It is I will or I won't for every man in this hall tonight." He spoke of the prodigal son who said, "I will arise." And then he inquired, "Who will say, I will?" In an instant, the Holy Spirit began to move, and 500 men sprang to their feet, tears coming down their faces, shouting, "I will, I will." And the whole spiritual atmosphere was suddenly changed. By the end of the week, some 2,000 men had responded to the invitation. And as a result of these meetings, the infidel clubs never recovered from this blow that they had received. Ah, beloved, there is a God, and God is real, and God is moving mightily and majestically by His Spirit, as Joel has declared, "In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Surprisingly enough, God is even moving behind the Iron Curtain. The other day I heard a missionary relate how in a communist institution, if the headmaster ever saw anyone whispering or talking, he would ring his bell and demand, "What are you saying? Stand up and report." And on one such occasion, he noticed a young man who bowed his head before eating, and seeing him whisper, demanded, "What are you doing?" The boy replied, "I'm thanking God for my food." The headmaster retorted, "There is no God. What you have was given you by the state. Then he threatened the young man, saying, "Denounce your faith in God, or you must pay for every meal from now on, as long as you're attending this institution." And as the young fellow left the classroom that day, he was met by the postman, who handed him two letters. One was from his father, the other from a man he hardly knew, who wrote, "Though I hardly know you, I seem to sense you are in need, and I am enclosing this check if you can use it." The boy looked at the check in amazement. Here was enough money to take care of his meals for the next 4 years. He quickly returned to the classroom and showed the letter and check to the headmaster. The headmaster could hardly believe it. Stunned for words, he could only say, "There must be a God." Ah, beloved, there is a God. A God who isn't willing that any should perish. And in the midst of growing atheism and apostasy, my friends, he wants to prove himself in meeting your own personal needs, as in the days of the apostles and prophets. He hath declared, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Indeed, he has promised to supply all of your needs through Christ. Daniel, looking down the corridor of time, saw the end of Gentile dominion. He saw the rise of Antichrist and exclaimed, "They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Do you know this God today? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you come to fully surrender to God's Spirit in your life? We would repeat, this is the day of promised outpouring. And for all who will set their hearts to receive, they can discover the reality of God in their lives if they will but yield to the control of God's Spirit. Perilous times are upon us. Seek now to be filled with His Spirit, and be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.